Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would anoint my lips to speak, that you would open hearts to receive the truth of your word, the truth of your promises, the truth of your signs. Have your will in your way, Lord, that we would be overwhelmed by the power of your presence today. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said amen. A lot in Luke chapter 2 today. I call this just signs and promises. And the very first scripture I have for you is actually Isaiah 7, 13 through 14. It says, "Then he said, 'Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you two weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.'" Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says, heir to the throne of David, to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Amen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Hallelujah. The prophets all foretold of Christ's first coming. And they also foretell of his second coming. We talked about last week from the book of Malachi, the last prophet, there was 400 years of silence from God. Yet at the fullness of time, God moved in a mighty and wonderful way, which is where we picked up on Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. God, in his way, orchestrated a leader that wanted to create a way for taxation. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were, the days were completed for her to be delivered. As she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. You see, the shepherds were sitting in darkness. They were greatly afraid. They were afraid at the scene, sitting there in darkness, maybe just the light of their fire. And suddenly an angel of the Lord comes and stands before them, and the glory of the Lord shines all around them. Can you imagine when we all stand naked before the Lord? For us who are in Christ, we're covered by his blood, his righteousness, encompassed by his holiness and his glory. But others who are not covered by this righteousness will be naked, standing before a pure and holy God, a righteous judge. And just when, if you think about in the garden, when the sin crept in, Adam and Eve hid themselves, there will be nowhere to hide on that great white throne judgment day. So they're in the presence and overwhelmed by the glory of the Lord. But in verse 10 it says, "Then the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Behold, in the Greek, adeo means to see, to discern. Discern, what are you actually seeing at this moment, at this time? You're seeing the glory of the Lord, but discern what you're actually seeing here. "For I bring you good tidings, news of great joy." This is like a joy like no other. It's like a peace like no other you're going to experience. Before one can accept the good news, they must know how bad it is, how the bad news is, to understand the good news. Because the law had come in and demonstrated to Israel for hundreds of years that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there were none righteous, not even one. And that men needed a righteousness from God, one apart from man's works, but through faith. As a result, all of humanity was put under the penalty of death. The wages of sin is death. And these shepherds were willing to receive this great news. And it says, which will be to all people. All points to guess what? All. The doctrine of atonement of salvation. The good news is for all men, the whosoevers, Jews and Gentiles both. Hallelujah. Verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. So for whom is this provided? Whom is this provided? For you. For you. What has been given? A Savior. A Deliverer. And who is provided? One who is Christ the Lord. And how is this one to be given? He's to be born. In fact, he has been born. What a paradox. A contradiction of he who was and is the eternal God. Also born. He became human flesh, humanity, for us. As the prophet said, behold, the virgin shall conceive, for a child will be born to us, a son will be born. And his name shall be called Miracle Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That's Isaiah 9:6. How could this such thing happen? In Luke 1:35, it says that Mary would be shadowed by the work and the Holy Spirit. When would this be? They say, this day. Unto you, I was born this day. Today. Now. Now, right? Now faith. Now faith. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Before he says, in the acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now. And where will this Savior be provided or born? In the city of David, in Bethlehem. You learned last week, it means house of bread. It used to mean house of war. Lehem. And then Lehem comes to house of bread. And he'll be provided, as predicted, Micah 5:2, it'd be in Bethlehem. But how would we recognize him? What would be the sign? Some of you heard this before. What will be the sign? This is given in verse 12. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. So what would have been the sign that these men expected to confirm that this is indeed the Messiah? What is the sign? Sign in the Greek is semien, which is that by which a person or thing is distinguished. It's different from others. A sign is an unusual occurrence or appearance, a sign is an unusual occurrence or appearance transcending the common of the ordinary. A sign is often a type of miracle and vision that astounds one. The sign is often the means in which God authenticates to man the confirmation and the purpose for which the sign signifies. You hear that again? God authenticates to man the confirmation and purpose for which the sign signifies. Now look again at verse 12. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Now these men, these shepherds, are looking for a sign. They're looking for a sign. Is it a baby infant? Well, there's nothing significant about a newborn baby, right? We've seen from the beginning in the garden all the way to today. We still see babies being born, right? This child was in a manger. Well, most Jewish children were born into poverty or birthed in some primitive, obscure places. They didn't really have hospitals and wards, you know, the baby wards. No. How about wrapped in swaddling clothes? You know, a baby wrapped up in blanket or snuggie? Would that have been considered a sign either? What was the sign that hit them like a ton of bricks? like a meteor shooting from heaven. Look closer at the word swaddling. The word swaddling actually comes from the word swathing. It actually was not added to the English language until the year 1535. It actually did not exist before then, and you need to understand that, because swaddling or swathing simply meant linen wrappings. King James and much of the theological world over the years had adopted the new word swaddling as the term used to describe the way Jesus was wrapped in the manger, as opposed to the original text, which said linen wrappings. Why? Because the original words wrapped in linen were words that would never be associated with a baby. The term wrapping in linen in its original form is referenced only one other time in the New Testament, and it paints a very different picture than the swaddling babe we see in the manger today. Turn to Luke chapter 23 in your Bible. Verse 50. I'll give you a moment. Let's read it together. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, the city of Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. This type of covering was used only when wrapping the body for burial. The term for this was known as swathing. And when they took the body of Jesus down from the cross, they wrapped him in linen. They literally wrapped his body in linen to swaddle his body for burial. What is being said here? What is it? When those shepherds came upon Jesus in that manger, they came seeking a sign unto them. They did not see a baby wrapped in infant clothes. It wasn't in a blanket. That would have been normal. The shepherds saw the sign that they were told they would see. Look at it again. What's the word sign? It's different from others. It's appearance. It's common of the ordinary. And it's a sign which means for God to authenticate to man the confirmation and purpose for which the sign signifies. They saw a child born into a manger wrapped for his burial, not his birth. Jesus was born for us to die, and for those shepherds, the social outcasts, the religious outsiders knew it when they saw the sign. They saw a child that came into this world to die. They saw his purpose. They saw his plan. They saw his future. From the time of his birth, everything Jesus did would portray and point him to the cross, all the way to the point where, you remember, he set his face like flint to Jerusalem. From the cradle to the grave, the message is about Calvary and what Jesus accomplished for all of mankind, the whosoever's. You and I, hallelujah. That manger was not a child and his childhood, but about the God-man, the Son who came to die for us. And in verse 13, it says, suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. First, it was one angel that appeared. And now it's the heavenly hosts that are there around singing to the shepherds. They probably have thousands of angels declaring the glory of the Lord, singing a song. Mm-hmm. We look at peace on earth and goodwill towards men as there being peace amongst everyone. We know that's not the case, isn't it? It sounds nice, but that's not what is really being said. In the English Standard Version, it says, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Or in the NASB, on earth among men with whom he is pleased. This Christmas announcement sounds pretty exclusive. Peace with whom he is pleased. God be pleased with me? God be pleased with shepherds? up to the point, the only way to please God would be to keep the law, right? 100% of the time. Absolutely perfect, right? That's impossible. That was impossible for man. You and I are powerless when it comes to the law and keeping it. We're like the stranded man when the Good Samaritan comes. The law just passed him by, the Pharisees. This baby comes to change everything. Jesus came for those who could not keep the law. He came for the sinner, the prideful, the lost, the lowly, so that we could be at peace with God and he will be pleased. Looking upon me and you as his sons and daughters, as we've been adopted, as that was shared in our group meet text. We've been adopted into the family because now our lives are hid in Christ on high and his righteousness. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Bethlehem, and see the things which have come to pass. The Lord has made known to us. What a privilege. What a privilege. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned. They were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. They didn't put it under a bushel. They were praising the Lord in the streets, sharing the truth. Do you know what we saw? The sign. How about promises? Let's keep going in the text. We see the story of Simeon. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, in verse 22, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with that which is said of the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Then the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. What is he? He's the living word, isn't he? He's a discerner of the thoughts and hearts of man, right? And a sword will pierce your own soul too. The gift of salvation is to all who believe, folks. The whosoever's, because our God is a promise keeper. In Genesis, you see the very first prophecy of the Savior, which was, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And we see even in this passage right here, this text on Simeon, we see God's promises fulfilled. You see, Simeon wasn't in Bethlehem to see the angels. He wasn't at the manger, and he wasn't at the inn where there was no room for Jesus and his family. However, he did get to hold Jesus in his arms. He was an ordinary man living in Jerusalem. However, God told him he would see Messiah before he died. I can only imagine knowing and anticipating something of that magnitude. You're not going to die until you see the Messiah. How do you process something like that and then live the rest of your life anticipating and waiting, right? Yet he clung to that promise. Can you imagine being told you'll see something in your lifetime, and then the trials come your way. The testing comes. Your ailments. And many are probably saying, boy, that Simeon, he's off his rocker. He said the Holy Spirit told me he was going to see Messiah, but I don't know. He's looking kind of old and frail. So did Abraham and Sarah. He's not going to see the Messiah before he dies. He was fully persuaded. He did not waver. That is called faith, my friends. Faith. He was looking for the deliverer the world and creation had been. And I read this from Pastor Smith about describing this scene of Christmas through Simeon's eyes. And it says, well, now let me tell you about the day it happened. This is just kind of a story of it. It seemed like my whole life was a preparation for that. The strange thing is that it was a day like any other. I was going about my usual business when I felt this inner compulsion to go to the temple. God did not usually speak to me this way, but it was like a voice in my head saying to me, Simeon, go to the temple. My first thought was, well, I'll go on my way home after work. But I knew that would be disobedience. All I can say is that I knew that I had to leave what I was doing and go to the temple right away. And I'm so glad I did. The temple court was a constant hive of activity. Traders selling animals, priests offering sacrifices, people confessing their sins, and parents presenting their firstborn sons to the Lord. When I arrived, a young couple was standing before the priest with their baby. The priest had no idea who he was. But as I watched, I knew that he was the one. Don't ask me how I knew it. I cannot tell you except to say that the Holy Spirit of God revealed this to me. Who draws you to the Lord? Oh. I was never sure of anything in my life. How about you? In a time when people fall away, are you sure? The child was the one the whole world had been waiting for. Nobody worked it out on their own. Angels told the shepherds, the wise men were led by a star, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. The evidence that Jesus is the Christ is there for all who seek him, but it's God who opens your eyes to the truth. So I walked up to the family and I stood with the little crowd that had gathered around to watch what was going on. And that was when it happened. I knew God was giving me the words that I had to be spoken at that very moment. So I tapped Joseph on the arm and I told him that God had given me something to say and asked if I could hold the child. He seemed rather surprised, me a stranger and not even a priest, but he agreed. And I found myself holding the child in my arms. And then the words came. I was speaking, but I knew that the words I spoke were given to me. I can only say that I spoke from God as I was carried along by the Holy Spirit. Holding the child in my arms, I declared, Sovereign Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people of Israel. It was a path for Jew and Gentile to be reconciled back to God. Hallelujah. I was about to hand the baby back to Mary, but then more words came to me. Like a wind blowing into your body, these words forced their weight upon me, and I had to speak them out. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. The words seemed strange to me. I could understand rising, but why falling? The words kept coming. He will be a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. I could hardly believe the words I was speaking. How could this promised child be spoken against? I looked at Mary, and there was beauty in her eyes that radiated from the depths of her soul. And as I looked at her, I heard myself say, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. We all stood rooted to the spot. What could this possibly mean? This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many of Israel. and to a sign to be spoken against, that the thoughts in many hearts will be revealed, saying that some of the Jewish people would believe that Jesus is the comfort, the consolation of Israel, and many would not. And there would be much opposition to Jesus' future. Did he not experience that? And Jesus would reveal the truth, because he is the truth. He's the way. And Jesus' suffering would cause Mary much pain personally. You see, the reality is Mary would have to one day see her son, the one she gave birth to, the one she raised. Those intimate moments of raising a child. And he would be poured out as a sacrificial offering for all of mankind. He would give up his life as a ransom for us to be reconciled back to God. Why? Because our God is a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. He kept his promise to Simeon, and he keeps his promises to all his children because he's faithful and he's true and he trusted. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who was promised is faithful. His promises never fail, folks. He promises a new life if you believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior. You are born again, a new creation. A new creation. Don't let the world say something different. And he has a plan and a purpose for you, beloved. And it all works together for the good, for his children who are called according to his purpose. Those thoughts that are good, of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, and it's a blessed hope. We are his workmanship. Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen? Amen. God had a plan to reconcile us. And through the process of suffering and excruciating pain, Jesus looked to the joy before him. It was part of the plan, and it worked together for the good. Sometimes the plans have pain in them. But just as the Lord spoke through the prophets long ago about the signs of the first coming of our Lord, so we see signs today of his second coming. And the Lord will continue to fulfill his promise. As John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. There's a place for you. Child. A mansion. He had no place to lay his head. Yet he has gone to glory to prepare a place for you because he loves you. And as I read that opening text, that Isaiah 7, it said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. And when I read this, my heart kept reading those words, the Lord himself. The Lord himself. You see, all those in the Old Testament and those 2,000 years ago were looking for a sign that the Lord himself would provide. We've received that promise. And now we look for another time where it says the Lord himself will fulfill. And that is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. That part in Simeon in the story, folks, that story, it said, it seemed like my whole life was a preparation for that day. Now think about us. Think about our whole life is a preparation of that day when we see Jesus face to face, when he says, "Well done, thy true and faithful servant, enter into your rest." That is the promise to all who put their faith and trust in the Lord, those who have gone before us and those who still are to come until that day. Hallelujah. That is Christmas. A babe would be born. He would live a perfect life and die a sinner's death that you and I deserved. Yet he would be our substitute so that I and you could be welcomed back into the arms open wide like the father welcomed the prodigal son. Glory to God. The real Christmas, the real gift of Christmas is the cross. To them who perish, it is foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is what? The power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. What a precious gift we have in Jesus. The ultimate gift. Signs and promises we get to cling to. Looking back, looking forward. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power of your word. As our whole life is a preparation for the day to come. As we live on the cusp, on the edge of eternity forever, with our forever family, I ask, Lord, that we would share the true meaning of Christmas today, to our family, to those who don't know the truth. That what was revealed to us in our hearts today, even about the sign, that you would give us boldness to share the truth that set us free and can set others free. That we would not muzzle our mouth. And you would be glorified today, Lord. Happy birthday, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this time, church family, as we seek you, Lord, in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen and amen. You're dismissed.